to God. I want to mention that camp this year was just absolutely outstanding. Some of the best speakers. Terry Schock was the morning speaker, and they were just outstanding. We're going to try to get some videos of that later this month to share with you. You couldn't get to camp, you could be in camp. Brother Woodward was there. Brother Stan Gleason, who used to pastor this church many, many years ago, and anointed preaching, and we'll get that to you. Amen. I'd like to have the senior class up here this morning. I got a text yesterday from a man I play tennis with. He was here on Father's Day with his two daughters, and they just enjoyed the service. Their daughter said, "Dad, this is the way we used to worship. Why don't we worship like this anymore?" And so he sent me a text with a picture of a dachshund. It says this: My grandson, Peanut, the dachshund, with my daughter, Amy, last night at the Kenosha Kingfish game. Apparently, there's a semi-pro baseball team in Kenosha. Peanut, this dachshund, was undefeated on the sausage dog race circuit until last night. So apparently, they have a sausage dog race of dachshunds, wiener dogs, you know? And so the dog race circuit was last Friday night, and the poor Peanut, he lost his focus when he saw a very cute dachshund. And he started running after her instead of running on the race. He fell behind and became third place instead of first place. And to add insult to the injury, she snubbed him in the parking lot after the game. This'll preach. Amen. We're winners. We're winners. We're winners. But then something gets our attention and we don't finish the race like we should. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the preaching of the word? Would you stand with me, please? Want to dismiss our children to Sunday school. Everybody's very familiar with the life of Job, and most of us at one point thought we went through the same life that Job has because of challenges in our life. You know, we've had a lot of pity parties, you know, let everybody know how bad it is in our life. But God knows what's going on. So in Job 2, verse number 2, it says, "And the Lord God said unto Satan, From hence, whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro through the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil," or hates evil, "and still he holdeth fast, and still he holds fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes." This is a bad day. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity?" I mean, after all of this, are you still going to maintain your integrity with God? Curse God and die. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." What an example. None of us have even come close to what Job has gone through. None of us. Have we kept our integrity? Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing. God, speak to us, Lord, through your word, through your anointing. God, that we'd leave here stronger than when we came, more committed, more dedicated, more faithful, God. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here, Job's integrity is tested by God. He lost all that he had, God remarked, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. I know what he had. He had a lot. It wasn't like he was a pauper. It wasn't like he just barely got by, but he was a very wealthy man, had lots of children. And even when his wife said, after Job had lost his health, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. I am so happy I didn't marry her. The word integrity in the scripture means good character, ethics, virtue, decency, and most of all, innocency. If you'll turn to Job 27, and verse number 2, it says, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul? All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should testify or justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. I'm going to keep my integrity with God and with people. We have this tendency to want to, well, blame somebody for what's going on. You know, we've got his best friends accusing him that he's not living for God. So, how's your integrity this morning? I know we all have gone through challenges, but have we maintained our integrity, our innocency, our dignity, our decency through it? Well, is there something I can take to keep it intact? Well, you can come to church. That helps. It really does. Could people today be prescription junkies, you know? They want a quick fix. They want some kind of pill that could, the gospel pill is a good pill to take. But they want a quick fix for whatever ails them, you know? I just want to mention before we get started that I got your prescription filled for you today. Don't thank me. God called it in, and you should be able to feel better in a little while based on the prescription God gives us in every service. Although there can be some side effects and even death. I always remark when these kind of drugs are this will cure your rash, but you could die. You know, you could have life-threatening illness that will stay with you, but boy, you're going to have clear skin. It's just a one. Are people just stupid? You know? Well, it's never going to happen to me, you know. Well, there are side effects from coming to church, folks. There are. This message most likely could cause permanent damage to your flesh. I know you don't want that happening. It works quickly, and you could see a change before you even leave here based on what you hear, what you allow to enter into your body. But if you don't swallow the whole sermon, well, it could cause drowsiness. And please don't operate heavy machinery while I'm preaching, because you could hurt yourself. All of us will have our integrity challenged over the years, every one of us. God must test our integrity before he can ever give us any kind of promotion, and many times he can't give us benefits unless he first tests our integrity. David was a prime example of that. You know, God saw a love in David's heart, but still he saw some other things in him that he had to test. And so if you turn to Psalms, very familiar scripture, Psalms chapter 51, starting in verse number 1. I have read this scripture so many times just to keep me in check and make sure that my integrity is in check. It says, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Now, we recognize that we've all come out of something, and God has washed our sins away, but nevertheless, we still remember them, and you can't allow those things to drag behind you. You got to say, you know what? It's under the blood, and I have some freedom because of that. And that's what David is saying, that my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inner parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I think maybe we should all repeat that once a day. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Oh, yes, I know years ago I was right with you, but every day we need to get right with God. Cast me not away from thy presence. I want to come into song service and feel the power of God all of the time. It's where I get my strength. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not that it's a duty. It's a joy. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Amen. When I'm right, I want to share it with somebody else. God chose David because of his pure heart, but in his weakness, he committed adultery and then murder. And even though he had a great repentance, there were consequences because of the sin, because of his transgressions. You see, our initial experience with God was not enough. God knew it wasn't just that upper room experience that would take us all the way to the rapture. It's enough to make us God conscious, but it's not enough to take us all the way. We need to be in a continuing process of receiving the Holy Ghost and the things that God gives us on a daily basis. Our flesh, as David could attest, will always resist conforming to God. That's not going to go away. After 40 years, after 50 years, I've been serving God, and now I don't have any trouble with the flesh. Wrong, wrong. The good that we receive from God always fights the evil we receive from our natural birth. You see, there's an old man that's still in there that doesn't want to conform to God. And we need this support group called the church. We have to keep going to meetings. You know, when an alcoholic falls away, they say, you know, you need to go to 10 meetings in the next 10 days in order to get back on track. We need each other to say, you can make it. I've been there. We can do it together. Go to Romans, if you will, the 7th chapter. Paul is just an incredible man. He's accomplished more than any of the apostles in the Bible. And here's what he writes to the Romans in chapter 7, verse number 20. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. There's this natural man that's inside of me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's always inside of me to want to do wrong. I have to put a fence around. I have to put a wall up so I don't allow the natural man to do the things that are just natural to us. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You never end the battle. That's why we need this support group. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligency, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, keep your heart in tune with God. I don't know if it's like what I experience, but all during the day, there's songs that come to my mind and I'm singing, or there's scriptures that come to my mind and I'm thinking about them, I'm meditating on them, because I know that's the tune-up, that's the thing that keeps me close to God. Hallelujah. You know, you can tell when your car needs a tune-up because it starts missing. And you can tell when you need a tune-up because you start missing. Things don't seem to run smooth as they used to do. And there are little problems that appear because you're not tuned up. And every service we come to God, well, there is a tune-up, a drawing close to God. God changes the filter and gives us fresh oil, rotates the tire and charges our batteries. And I know this sounds like a man's message, and maybe I can get some ladies' metaphors later in the service, but you know what I mean. You got to service it. You got to do those things. You can't just come and not have some things happen. Glory to God. Psalm 7. And verse number 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. So we're judged by the integrity that we have, especially when things don't always go well with us. What are you going to do? The word integrity in the Hebrew means being complete, innocent, an emblem of truth, which was a part of the high priest's breastplate. When you saw the high priest, there was an emblem and a outward look of integrity. It comes from the word integer, which means a set of positive whole numbers, such as 1, 2, 5, 6, not a fraction of half or quarter. So integrity really means whole, not partial. When God deals with us, it must be on a whole, not on a partial basis, or then we have no integrity without being wholly committed and faithful. The reason some people have trouble serving God is because of partial submission, partial dedication, partial faithfulness, and as a result, the enemy can come in at us because we don't have a whole integrity. We can't live good in one area of our life and then part way in another area and think that we won't affect the other areas. I know today, you know, we have these challenges that, well, you know, it's not that important anymore. It's not salvational. But you know what? You've got a gap in the fence. You've got a gap in the wall. And all of a sudden, you're dealing with something that you shouldn't have to be dealing with because you've allowed that partial commission or submission to God. What health is to the body in 2020 is to the eye, so integrity is to a person's character. You can't have a broken finger and say, the rest of my body is just fine. You see, it's the whole body that needs to be fine, not just areas of it. David said in Psalms 86 and 1, teach me thy ways, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. There's so much emphasis in the Bible about love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, let's just keep one of those out. Well, then the protection isn't there any longer. You see, real integrity demands the whole heart, not just a position or when it is convenient in order to give him everything. David knew that his heart would cheat on him and his very nature would cheat on him. You have to realize there's something within us, given the right opportunity, we can fail. So he couldn't segment his life into compartments. This is for church, and this is for work, and this is for me, you see. No, you need all of God in order to have all of what God wants for you. The enemy wants your life fractioned and this church fractioned. When they are all in one mind and in one accord, when there was unity, like Psalms 133 says, there was the blessing and the anointing of God. Yeah, but I'm just keeping this one thing aside. No, I'm sorry. The anointing won't be there. The protection won't be there. You aren't in a place of integrity. But God wants us whole. He wants us whole so he can lavish us with all kinds of things. Pour out his power upon each and every one. Well, what do you do when you're not in church? Well, what I do in my closet is none of anybody else's business, really. I'm sorry, are we a member of the body of Christ? Then you might be stopping a flow of something into our lives, but what? By what you are allowing in your life. You understand? You're a part of this body. It's not that my body isn't attached and what happens with this hand affects the rest of my body. And so it's not enough to say, well, what I do in the confines of my house has nothing to do with the rest of the congregation. Yes, it does, because it could stop the flow of God. And I believe that this body is so united, and that's why we're feeling the power and the presence of God in this place. You can't just decide. It's not because of the music. It's not because we have certain songs or because we have liberty to come to the altar. It's because of the unity of integrity within our congregation. At times, circumstances conspire to divide our life and cause us to be partial in commitment and obedience. I understand that. Some circumstances happen in our life and we think, well, we have to just let go of some things in order to survive. No, no. The only way you can survive is to hold on to certain things, you see. Jesus said in John 14 and 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. I just love this scripture. It's saying there were no secret compartments with Jesus, nothing for the enemy to attack or to grab onto. And when you allow some partial thing to be a part of your life, well, the enemy is right there wanting to take a part of that, hold on to it, and limit your exposure to God and the blessing of God. And Jesus saying, hey, nothing in me that the enemy can get to. Glory to God. No areas that weren't committed. No areas that weren't surrendered. Therefore, he had full access to all the power of heaven and earth. I want to have full access to God. Oh, you're just preaching so hard. Do you want all of God? Do you want all of the things that God can give you? Then pull out the stops. Take a hold of God. Don't compromise your integrity in any area of your life. And then you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to fear about anything. The enemy can't get to you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. The first time the word integrity is found in Genesis, the 20th chapter. It's a tragic story of Abraham who fractioned, if you will, because of the fear of circumstances. You know, he lied about his wife. Well, it was a half lie. You know, that's my sister. Well, she was a half sister back then. I guess that was, it was a all right. But integrity always delivers us from fear. So if you had perfect integrity, I'll just tell it like it is. That's my wife. Get your hands off of her. I don't care if you're king. I don't worry about. I answer to a king that's far above you. But there must have been something in his life that compromised his integrity, and therefore he had to take things into his own hands. So if you'll turn to Genesis, that's right in the beginning, the 20th chapter, starting in verse number 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Now, I don't ever want God to say anything like that to me. Thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he, not unto me, she is my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands, I have done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ear, and the men were sore afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, man of God? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Wow. There was something in Abraham's life that didn't allow him to fully trust God. You know, when we have this little thing in the back of our mind, then we're wondering, will God be there for me? But God came to King Abimelech's rescue because of his integrity and his innocent hands. And you thought God only talked to save people. Hallelujah. Well, God woke that pagan up and said, thou art a dead man because you have another man's wife. But Abimelech was able to play the integrity card. There are a lot of very wealthy people in this world that tithe and know nothing about baptism or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Do you know why? Because God honors a certain principle in their life. He has to, because it's in his word. And God will honor the integrity of the heating contractor and the plumber, you know, because they're operating their business right because of their integrity. Verse 6 said, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. Now, church, this scripture really excites me. There are going to be times when we're under pressure, we're under challenges in our life. And I guess all of us understand that, that it's not a bed of roses, it's not a perfect life just because you have truth and experience God. And we get into situations we may have no control over, but if we have integrity, we are a whole, not a fraction of what God wants us to be, then God comes in and protects us against the things that we can do nothing about. This has come upon me and I don't know what to do, but have you kept your integrity? I've heard people say, you know, I was very disappointed in God. Oh, please, just back away from me, will you? You know, we have nothing to accuse God for. All good things come from above. All of our blessings come. If you didn't have God, a lot of you people would be in bad shape, including me. The scriptures say God is going to step in and respond to our integrity and is going to prevent us from making a mess out of our situation if we hold on to our integrity. Hey, God can and will stop stuff from happening in our lives if we have integrity. God can and will stop things from happening in our life if we keep our integrity. Well, Pastor, I believe almost all of the things that you're preaching and those scriptures in the Bible, but there's one thing I don't really feel convicted about. Well, may have some problems down the road. God saved Sarah, stopped Abimelech, and overrode Abraham's bad decision. Psalms 25 and 21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. It's a preservation in our life. As long as David walked with integrity, God preserved him wherever he went. But when he violated in just one aspect of integrity, he suffered for it. Amen. Glory to God. I'm preaching so I can irritate people this morning. You know, no. You need to have access to all of those things that you need in order to make it all the way to heaven. In 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, it is a dedication of the temple. Solomon is kneeling at the altar praying and telling God. Now, this is so incredible. I don't know where in the world this comes from, but here's what he's saying. Now, if we sin and won't follow after you, and the enemy attacks us, you see the correlation? Sin and the enemy attacks us. He already knows that if we don't continue to live for God, the enemy is going to come in and attack us. God grant us a spirit of repentance, forgive us, and expel the enemy. Now, if this happens, notice the enemy couldn't get to them if they kept their integrity. Solomon goes on to say, and if we sin and the Lord, you shut up the heavens and cause a famine and our livestock to die, then, O God, cause us to repent and bring back to the rain and give us the fruitfulness of our field. Or if we go after other gods and make marriages with the heathens, grant us repentance and honesty of heart or integrity. If this thing happens, glory to God. I don't want to pray that prayer. I just want to always hold on to my integrity so these things don't happen. But he recognized if these things happen and we go after other gods and we do these things that I know just, I hope we can repent. The power of integrity is so powerful that it prevents Abimelech from violating Sarah. It protects the boundaries of David's kingdom. It's so powerful that it perpetuated the future of Solomon's reign. And if we keep our integrity, God will keep our enemy back from penetrating our home, our life, our emotions, our mind, our finances. Hallelujah. What God is telling us is you can't have integrity of heart towards God at the same time be divided in your allegiance and hidden agendas. You can't have it. It's either one way or another. You will not hear this kind of preaching in denominational churches. Because you're right, I'm right, everybody's okay. And then you wonder, well, the Bible says we can be healed. The Bible says we can be blessed. The Bible says we can be protected. Well, yes, it does. But it's contingent upon you keeping your integrity, you see. Now, when Israel needed to know what to do, whether if they should go into battle or whether they should proceed and take up land, because there were a lot of questions, many times you don't know what to do. There aren't all of the answers in the book. God allows us to make those decisions based on the honesty and the integrity that we have in our life. The high priest would go before the presence of the Lord in front of the veil, and he would ask God for an answer. It's the way it should be. You don't know? Well, I feel like. I wonder how many times over the years I've had people come to me and say, well, Pastor, I feel like. Well, is it in the scripture? Well, I'm not sure. Did God really talk to you? Well, no, but I feel so strongly about this. I don't hear any amens. Is this thing working? If the answer was yes, there was a stone called a urine stone, and it would glow. The root word that means light, radiance, glow, or anointing. The Thurman stone next to it, there were two stones, has this rooted in the meaning of truth, completeness, honesty, and integrity. So the high priest had two stones. When we read the word integrity in the Bible, the Hebrew word is thurman, which stands for completeness, honesty, and truth. The two stones together gave Israel direction and also gave them victory. So they needed those two things. They needed integrity, and they needed something that would glow, if you will. The battle is to keep our integrity in every situation. Integrity is the key to being led by the Spirit. I'm living any way I want to live, and then I'm asking God, give me some direction. And God's saying, what? I don't want to talk to people that just ignore God, do whatever they want. You know, why would God want to talk to me when I know what I should do and I don't? I hope we have a church after this message. If you go to Exodus, the 28th chapter, verse verse number 30. Talking to the high priest, it says, "And thou shalt put in the breastplate a judgment, a Urim and a Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord every once in a while." Continually. When I first came into the church, there was a phrase we used all of the time, "if the Lord wills." If it's all right, God, we'll do this. The high priest had all the stones of Israel for all of the tribes. Some years ago, I preached on that. He had an epaulet with the stones of all of the tribes and a breastplate with stones. It was a reminder of what God loved. And on his shoulder and on his breastplate, because God wanted them to have direction, he had them make a little pouch. And inside the little pouch were two stones, one the Urim and the other the Thummim. The high priest was to wear this pouch over his heart in order to give the people direction. I stole two of my neighbor's stones today, and I already asked God for forgiveness because I didn't have these stones. But here's what would happen. The high priest would take the Urim stone. This is the one that would glow. And then the Thummim, which represented truth or the word of God, and he would put those in a pouch. And he would take that pouch and he would put it next to his heart like this. And whenever there was a need for direction, which was continually, he would go before the Lord in his integrity and ask God, "Which way should we go?" And the Bible says that the Urim stone would glow. But in fact, when it glowed, it would start to burn. He wouldn't even have to look at the stone because he knew which direction to go. There's something about us that have truth and spirit. You know, is this the right direction? Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus was with Cleopas and his friend, gave him this incredible Bible study about all of the prophets pointed to him. They said, when he talked, wasn't there a burning in our heart? Oh God, keep our integrity so we know which way to go, which way not to go. You see, but you see, you can't get that burning inside if you don't keep the other stone, which is truth. It tells us in Romans 1 and 18 that we cannot have truth in unrighteousness. And what God is saying, you don't want righteousness? Give me back the truth. And so many have failed because they wouldn't keep the integrity of God. And now all of a sudden there isn't a power of God moving in services anymore. We just take it for granted. This is wonderful. What an awesome power of God that we had in our church service this morning. And then we know tonight it's going to happen. And Wednesday it's going to happen. And next Sunday we're going to happen because we've kept our allegiance. We weren't fractioned, but we were whole as a body, and God was able to come in and move and do things. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost that leads us into all truth. that prevents us from going in the wrong direction if we respond to the burning inside. Romans 8 and 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's like a GPS system that's within us that gives us always the right direction. You know, on my way up north and going different places, I used the GPS on my car, and this lady kept telling me which direction to go, and I thought, that is just not the right direction. But I followed it anyway, and sure enough, it was the shortest route and the easiest route for me to take. And so many times when God speaks to us, we're thinking, really? Is that really what? Follow it anyway. Follow the voice of God anyway. The Spirit of God in us will give us light if we are undivided and complete. Not fragmented in our allegiance and in our agendas. There are more important things than God. Well, I don't think so. Many feel that when the urine stone glowed, it got warm, and there wasn't any reason to go to the book, find some more truth. You already knew. You already knew. Hallelujah. There's a direction God has given us when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. But we can step on that. We can have selective hearing. When you say, God told me, you better know for sure God told me. I've had people come to me and say, God told me I'm supposed to. Really, are you sure? Because I can find some things in the book that says, no, you're not going in the right direction, but you're fractioned. You're not whole. Glory to God. Church, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we have all the same experience. We shut everything out and focus on one thing, that's God. And in that moment, our heart was one with God, and God could talk to us. And all of a sudden, we become the Thurman, and God gave us the urine, the Word, and the Spirit. And it started in an upper room, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. We are desperate for the direction of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Why do you do that? Why do you have to? No, I've got direction from God. I've got truth, and I've got Spirit. I know where I'm going. God is going to protect me. God is going to be with me all of the time because I hold on to this integrity. What was good for me in 1977 is good for me in 2022. I'm not changing because God hasn't changed. God has protected me all of these years. He's kept his hand on my family. He's kept my hand on my finances. He's kept my hand on this church. But if I deviate, all of a sudden, the church itself can be fragmented. And now all of a sudden, we're exposed to some things. It took 10 days for their integrity to bring them to one mind and one accord, full truth, full spirit. Amen. And now it's like a little bag that's over your heart. We all get it. Here's yours. And here's yours. But keep it close to you. Don't leave it at home when you go on a picnic. Don't leave it at home when you go on vacation. But as soon as the Thurman stone was in place, they were whole, not fractionized. I got the truth. and know exactly what God wants, then God allows the Urim stone to glow in us and give us direction. If we want to continue to have this kind of experience, and I need the same experience I got when I was filled with the Holy Ghost over and over and over again. You need the same experience over and over. You can't just rest on what happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You need another experience with God and direction with God. Then we must all keep our integrity at all costs. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He changes not. And I don't want to change, folks. I don't want to change. Something was handed down to me that I want to hand to the next generation and the next generation. Your kids should be able to have the same experience that you had. It shouldn't change. I was remarking to Brother Monday before service, he came up for some of the services and experienced camp and the preaching, and I said, you know, in 77 when I came into the church, not many people were getting the Holy Ghost in services, and so their idea was, well, camp's coming up in July, and we'll get the Holy Ghost at camp, you know. Hallelujah. If that's your mindset, you're never going to get it in regular services. But slowly, that all changed. When people started worshiping freely, like we did at camp, then all of a sudden, people were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't want to go backwards. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have a special evangelist, and he's going to come. And man, there are things that happen when he comes. Well, why? Why shouldn't it happen when we're just all by ourselves with a dumb pastor in the pulpit? You know, why not? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're available to us every day as long as we keep in this way. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. If I have offended any of you, please line up later in the vestibule. We'll work it out somehow. Glory to God. Amen. I'm just so grateful for what's happening, that in song service we have the freedom we have, and even after the song service, God and the gifts of the Spirit tell us, you know, I've got things for you if you just come forward. Amen. Glory to God. I talk to evangelists and missionaries all the time, and they say, you know, you don't know what you have here. And I'm convinced it's because we kept our integrity, folks. Glory to God. Keep it. Hold on to it. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?